everybody. Welcome back to Come Lose It with Matt Duncan. I'm your host, as you know, Mr. Matt Duncan himself. Yes, you probably remember me from the Morgan Waters show. It's been almost 20 years since that. Whoa, that was an abrupt end to the music. I'm sorry about that. It was a real record drop when I said I was on the my first ever job on TV, the Morgan Waters show, my friend Morgan's show on the CBC. I don't know where you could find it. I don't know if it exists on YouTube, but I played his stalker. And it was one of the most fun times I've had on set. And it also opened my eyes to how you're working for a giant company that does national broadcasts and is really one of the only studios in the country. And we were like filming in a laundromat without asking for permission. We were kind of sneaking around the person who owned the laundromat. So we were pretending to do laundry. And then when he left, I would like jump in a dryer and we would do weird stuff. We were real inspired by the boys of Stella and Brass Eye, weird comedy there in the mid-2000s. Everyone wanted to be a little weird, a little edgy. And that was right up our alley. So we had a lot of fun. So check out, if you can get the DVD, please give her a shot. Give her a shot. I was in two episodes. And those credits I eventually used to get into the Wonderful Union, which is still locked out, by the way, in the commercial acting world. Been a real dry time, real dry. And I don't know. I don't know if it's going to end. It feels like it's going to take a miracle. I have to do two auditions. These are the first auditions of the year for me on camera. Two by the middle of February. That's not good. That's not good, folks. That's not good for the industry. I think we're going to see a lot of people who are just fucking giving up. Shout out to my friend Rod, who made these Metrolinx commercials. They're like, Metrolinx is a company. If you're from an out of town, listen to the podcast. I know we're worldwide. It's a company that runs all the transit in the city of Toronto, and they came out with these terrible fucking ads that were like targeting people for complaining about the construction because they've had a couple of different lines of subway that have been just in construction for over a decade, decade and a half. Crazy. Feels like it's never going to end. And they made these shitty ads. So Rod made his own, and it was very well done, and it went a bit viral. And, you know, that's what Roddy does. God damn. So much that Metrolinx took down those ads that they made because they looked like such douchebags. I don't know what they were thinking. But it's February 8th. You know, I'm under the car today. I'm changing oil. I'm checking all the drips. Got a lot of drips on the car now. When you got an old car, she just starts dripping. And I pretty much have to top up everything now. Really worried about the transmission fluid. Feel like I got to take it in, get that looked at, because you do not want your transmission to blow. Ended up putting a little bit in. Not a lot, but I did put a little bit in today. It's very difficult. Let me tell you something. I don't know if it's changed on newer cars. I've never really checked oil on a new car newer than 2005 or 6. So I don't know. I don't know if they've improved the dipstick. Is it easier to see? It's a tricky thing, let me tell you. Especially when you put in fresh oil and it's practically clear. Very difficult to tell where that line is. You have to kind of figure out like, oh, okay. This is how you tell. You got to just, you're going to, you know, that tube, there's going to be oil lines going along the side of the stick. You got to ignore that. You got to look for a solid chunk of oil across. Don't worry about the sides. Fuck the sides. It's an oily, drippy tube. Okay. This is me giving you some pointers. Okay. In the middle of February, before you go on a drive for your Valentine's Day date and you haven't checked your oils, you're running low. Then you got to call CAA or you got to call one of the mafia ones if you don't have CAA. That's a scary thing. If you ever break down on a highway, I feel like even though I have CAA, I'm going to be talked into going to one of these like mobster towing truck services. I do worry about it. I do worry about it, but I'll flash that CAA. I'll flash that shit. Anyway, overall, I think the car's okay. It's just, this is what happens with old cars, okay? They leak. They start to leak. Oil's been leaking for years. I'm looking at my old notes. haven't had a dry time under there for many. I probably got 1 or 2 years since I got the car. It's been 7 years this April. God bless. God bless. And my grandma's still alive. Still alive. Doesn't probably recall that I have her car. But I would say if you have a grandparent who has a vehicle and they only have like 30,000 kilometers on it, put your name in the hat for it, because it is a good thing to have in this crazy car market. Because everywhere I drive, all I think about is these people don't own their cars. The majority of people that you're on the road with don't even fucking own their cars. They're on these crazy car loan payments, paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. And it's not like a house. It's not like the, it's like you're mortgaged on a car here, but it's not the same as a house, because the value only goes down like every day on that car. And you're still paying those same payments from when you first got the car. It's a really fucked up thing. And my wife and I, we were really trying to avoid that world when we have to buy a new vehicle. We're keeping this beauty going as long as we can because we're saving so much money. There's no car payments, very little maintenance. But when she starts dripping, got to take her in, okay? Starts dripping, take her in. Not the engine, you know, just like if it's a transmission, you don't want to fuck with that. Anyway, let's get off the car. Let's get off the car, okay? I rewarded myself and I got a cinnamon twist, okay? I got a sugar twist from Tim Hortons, okay? If you're not from Canada, then you don't know what I'm talking about, but we used to have some classic dones. We used to have a walnut crunch there. We used to have the goddamn Dutchie. Why did they get rid of those? I think there's more to the story here. I feel a CBC gem doc coming up. Maybe I'll talk to some of my contacts and investigate why the Dutchie walnut crunch, the sugar twist, and some weird apple fritter stopped being on the shelves at Tim Hortons. Why were they pulled from circulation of the sugar variety? I don't know, but they're bringing them back and they think it's some funny cute thing. And I miss the sugar twist. You know, I was never a fan of Dutchie, and good luck getting a walnut crunch. Those are the ones. I used to love a walnut crunch, and it's gonna be hard to find because those things sell out. So if you're riding around and you want a donut, make sure you get one of these delicious little things while they're out, okay? Okay, support the Brazilian company that owns Tim Hortons now. It's no longer a scrappy hockey player for the Toronto Maple Leafs that runs the business. It's some conglomerate from Brazil. Takes a little bit of the magic out of it, doesn't it? Why don't they lean into the Brazil a little bit more? I want to like celebrate. I want to celebrate Carabana. Give me a little Carabana, give me a discount for Maca Bavaria. They still selling that beer? I remember it was like the Brazilian MGD. They still selling that? Well, I haven't even really been drinking, and we'll talk about that in the fitness update. Don't you friggin' worry. Got a little note here. I don't even want to talk about him. Elon Musk, his drug use, it's just, there's reports of this, reports of that. He's got top officials trying to get him to dry out. The guy is jacked up. He's jacked up on that K. He's jacked up on that Molly water. Apparently Molly water is a thing now, drinking the Molly water. I would probably try that. No, I don't know. I've always been afraid of ecstasy because there was a myth when I was in high school that you could get E-lumps from taking ecstasy on your body. You just get these weird deposits of ecstasy. And if it you don't know where it is and you sit on it, if it like is on your back or your ass or something, then you just get another hit. you get like 50 hits ecstasy because it's like the E-lump exploded. Very stupid. But you know what? If you're out there and your fear of the E-lumps kept you from doing ecstasy, send a message to the podcast. Contact my publicist, please. And and let me know. I want to talk about it and see if you still got that e-lump fear. Because I've talked to other people and I really haven't heard anything about the e-lumps since the digital age, you know? Like, it was all back in the old broken telephone rumored area of when I was a kid growing up, and you were told that Marilyn Manson removed his ribs to suck his own dick, and to this day, I still believe it. That was not an internet thing. That thing spread like wildfire, and there wasn't even internet. I remember being in, like, elementary school, and everyone being like, Jesus, this guy removed his ribs. And that passed from an older brother who played hockey with another boy, and he spread it to his school. And then it went district, and it went global. It's just crazy how these things, how the world can spread something without the internet. How did they ever do it? But those ribs, they ain't sizzling, babe. They ain't sizzling. Marilyn Manson apparently is a huge homophobic type of person too, so I don't know if he liked that at all, hearing the sucking his own dick. Is that a homosexual type of thing? Well, yeah, I guess it is in that act. I guess it is in the you know, I mean, if you're looking to do that, you're looking to do that elsewhere too. Tricky topic. Anyway, so we've covered oil changes so far in the opening chart. We've covered Marilyn Manson's ribs. We've covered Tim Hortons. I just want to tip my hat. I want to tip my hat to Bad Boys. Okay, you're not from Toronto. You're not gonna fucking know. Okay, outside of Toronto, Ontario, you've seen the commercials. You know. Let me just like refresh you to the genius that was Bad Boys Furniture Company.
Who's got the power to save you more?
Bad Boys got the power. Power pricing on all furniture, all appliances and electronics. Canada's lowest prices guaranteed. No interest till 1997, or no GST and no tax. Who's better than Bad Boys?
Nobody.
Fucking catchy as shit. And they always had a celeb. They always had a celeb to say the nobody part. The person you heard in that terrible audio was none other than Mr. Pat Quinn. Not Pat Quinn, sorry. Pat Quinn. Pat Borders. Can't remember his name. Pat Burns. Oh, my God. Oh, God. See, I'm getting older and shit is slipping out of my head. That was Pat Burns. Coach, at least in the mid-90s. As you heard, you don't have to pay any interest until 1997. Well, they've gone bankrupt and people are not getting their deposits back. I've never actually stepped foot into Bad Boys. I think I've driven by one once because they're kind of on like the outskirts of the city. You know, they're not downtown. You ain't going to see that at John and fucking Adelaide. But they wish, right? They wish. It's not down there by fucking the government nightclub or Wayne Gretzky's. It's like off in the dirt sides of the city. Well, maybe they did have some good deals. They had some great commercials. I remember as a kid, they had a Bill Clinton impersonator and a Hillary Clinton impersonator. This is the mid-90s. Remember, this was huge. They were huge back then. And it was very strange. It was just, and the guy that created the company went on to become the first mayor of the megacity of Toronto, Mr. Mel Lastman, who was the mayor for like 25 years in North York. Crazy. So they've gone bankrupt. There will be no more Bad Boys. There will be no more commercials. They have cashed it in. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you didn't get the chance to see it, but you can find a bunch of their commercials online if you're dying to see. And if you are someone that's listening and you didn't get that deposit back, I'm sorry. Hopefully Lazy Boy or The Brick will take some pity on you. Okay, now one thing before I just want to talk about this a little bit because I've been seeing a little bit of this discourse. Jesus, fuck, guys. Is it the oil? Did it drip in my mouth? Was I slurping on that oil? Do I have brain damage now? There's been some discourse online. Discourse. Discourse. Is that better? Uber Eats and tipping. Now, I'm in a bit of a weird state right now. I've been busy with work and then not busy. It's a weird time. I'm trying to figure out the next step. But I've been actually an Uber Eats driver since 2017, folks. It's 2017. I've never done it, though. But I've always updated my information to make sure I'm ready to go. And I figured, you know what? I was talking to my wife and I was just like, I'm just going to try it. I just want to see how much money they actually make, because you just got to see how much they're actually giving you and how much you have to earn through tip. And I'll tell you this, you make about $3 a delivery from Uber. Three, depends on the distance, but we'll say $3 to $4 per delivery, right? So you are very dependent on tips to make a living wage. If you don't tip them, if you're someone who orders Uber Eats and you do not tip them, then you're asking them to deliver food to you for free. Because they've got to pay for gas and everything. Like, it just doesn't work out. And like, that's the bare minimum. And that's like if you're just tipping 15% or whatever. Hey, I know. I've used Uber Eats many a time. It's very expensive. It's very stupid. But if you have such a problem with the cost, then don't use it. Or use the option where you can go pick it up. Because I did three trips within 49 minutes. And I was a little fucked up. I will say it took a little bit longer because I was like, how do I start this fucking, you know, like there's just some little glitches that I had to... had to get used to on my first trip out there. The first person that I delivered to was not far from my house. So I was like, perfect. Be able to go home after. I'm just making money to drive home pretty much. They did not tip me, which meant I made $3.10. Okay? That's how much they're making. And it's not for them. It's not for contractors to take up with... They're not our boss. It's gig work. We've got no leverage. So you can't be like, well, they should go to the fucking Uber guys and ask for our living wage. And no, that's not the answer. You need to tip if you're going to use it. If you're not going to use it, or you just want to go get off your fat ass. Now it is fat. If you're ordering fucking $80 for McDonald's, that's a fat ass you got. You need to go pick it up if you're not going to tip, because that is fucking crazy. The two other trips they tipped, and I think it was the bare minimum. So I think I made like $23 on three trips in 49 minutes. Now that I've done it, I could probably speed it up a little bit. But come on, that's still not very good. And it's definitely... why they never promote it. This is Uber. They never promote doing that as like a type of job that's like a full-time job. They're just like, no, like any type of legal doc or press release or anything about these carriers from these companies are like, it's just something for you to do to pick up some extra money at the end of the day. And that's now I see why. Because you just can't earn a living wage. And I'm curious. I kind of want to get to like 10 different orders so I can like have a better percentage to see how many people actually tip and who don't. And because there's like the option that you don't even have to see these people. They can leave it at the door. I think it makes it a lot easier for people to not tip. So again, this is just something, it's kind of like video stores that we had in like the 90s and into the 2000s. It's something that's only going to be here for a little bit, and then there won't be any drivers anymore. It'll be fully autonomous cars doing deliveries. the restaurants will just load it into a vehicle and it'll be all AI and automate. That's their long-term goal, because they're not making any money yet. And once that happens, apparently is when they're going to start making a profit, the company. I just had to have a little rant because, yeah, like people, seeing people that are kind of being like, no, I'm not going to tip. The driver needs to take that up with the company. That is the fucking shittiest response you could have. And I don't agree with it. Jesus. I will say, it's funny that this last thing before I go to the fitness update, for driving around that Uber delivery, did make me think about medically assisted death and how Canada is outpacing the rest of the world in that category. And I actually know of two people who have used it. They were very sick. Very sick. They were terminal. They did not want to suffer. And they used it. And they went out peacefully. And oh, man. It's just kind of, it is, when you do go through that with someone in your family, or even though both these people weren't close to me, but they were in, you know, close to my wife's family. One was like close to my uncle's wife, was her mom. And it's still kind of shocking, you know, to get a diagnosis and then it's just, okay, I'm done. And Canada, people are not in for the fight up here. It's horrible. It's horrible. You like to decide to, and I've had a lot of family members have done that, who have just stayed to the very end when their just heart wouldn't give out and they were in so much pain and they were so sick. And oh, that's not pretty. It's not pretty. So anyway, we're pausing the expanding the medically assisted deaths program because they were going to get into people who are like mentally ill. They're going to hold off until after the election on that one. Has this been a bit of a doc one?
Fitness update.
All right, let's move on, guys. I'm hitting the exercise bike. I'm like pretty much not drinking. I drank one day last week. I drank a bit of weekends in January. It wasn't a fully dry January, but I'm really trying not to drink now, because I just feel like it's not doing anything for me anymore. I'm not getting that nice pop from it, you know? I'm not getting that, even when I drink a lot, it's just, and then the hangovers I've been having, like a couple times that I've been drinking, the next day I've just had this horrible hangover, and I'm just not into it anymore. So I've been pretty sober, and even last week when I drank, I didn't, feel anything. You know, I wasn't like buzzed or anything. It feels like I'm kind of over it, you know? Like I'm really just one or two days a month or something, maybe. Yeah, I'll have some drink. But like, just even talking to my dad is someone who would like have a drink every night after work. And he's really stopped doing that too. He's just talking about how much better he felt. It really is bad. And I will say this with alcohol, they really should start selling little bottles outside of the bottle and you have to mix it in to see like this little bottle of poison, right? Because that's really what it is. It's so fucked up. It's a fucked up industry. It's fucked up how like the government kind of promotes it and makes so much money off of it. And it's so harmful and there's so many deaths and there's drunk driving. It's a nasty fucking thing. And the younger people are not drinking as much. The Gen Zers, the Alpha Gens, the whatever the fuck they're called, they're not drinking as much. So anyway, cooling it on that. Really need to start drinking more water, though. I feel like I could, I feel like I could go for like, goddamn, I could survive in the desert without water, okay? I could do it. I could fucking do it. I am so dehydrated. I need to drink more water. Hitting the exercise bike, feeling good about that. Got a lot in. You know, the weather has been so friggin' crazy here. Like, it's going to be 13 degrees tomorrow. I don't know what the hell's going on with winter. It's the middle of February almost, and there, it just feels like spring. It ain't right, folks. But I did get the exercise or the bike out on the road last week and went for a big ride. And you know, I'm seeing a lot of shit about these exercise bikes exploding and stuff in the news, and it's freaking me out. Because these things, these battery, like I got this battery pack up behind my back right now, and I am fucking nervous about it. I'm nervous about it because some guy died in Vancouver. Now he went to get his serviced for some reason, and when it was charging, it didn't. There was some kind of fault in knowing when to stop charging. So, you know, it's supposed to switch to a different color and stop charging the batteries like mine does. It goes from red to green. But you're still not supposed to leave it plugged in too long, just out of safety. It's like, when it's charged, unplug it. So I'm very good about that. And I always bring it in. I keep it clean. But fuck, I just think about, like, if that, because it exploded, and then you have all these individual cells, and they're, like, flying around his room, and they were all, like, just, like, they were, like, little rockets on fire. Like, his wife got hit by one, and she got burned, and, yeah, like, I don't know what the hell happened to him. He just exploded. Oh, Jesus. These things are, they're a bit risky. It's fucking fun, though. Really like it. I'm really trying to take care of it. But, yeah, like, that worries me. If there's ever something, I think the lesson is don't fuck around. Get the brand stuff when you're replacing it. Don't get people screwing around with it, because it could lead to your house burning down. Anyway, I'm going to keep working at it. Maybe I'll get out tomorrow in that 13-degree heat and get some friggin' exercise and hopefully not explode over the moon.
Health news.
News that is health-related.
All right, I'm just going to go through one because I'm on the oil... The rib removal opener went a little too long. I will say that I'm going to come back at the end of the month because this is a leap year. We've never done a podcast on the 29th, I don't believe. And you know what? I'm going to bring back the birthdays for that episode special one. We're going to see. We're going to wish some happy birthdays to the leap year babies. See what's going on there. It's been a while. Why not? I just want to talk about this one weird surgery that I was reading about, and it's the first thing I thought of after reading it. It's kind of like done in an essay this guy wrote about the surgery he got, and it's like a hipster lobotomy. Does that make sense to you? Like, what do you think of when a hipster gets a lobotomy? Like, what type of a lobotomy would a hipster get, you know? So this guy's my age too, which makes me think that this guy was doing his research early internet, you know, not probably going as far as he could. Maybe he was going into some old medical textbooks. I don't know. But this guy had a surgery to stop himself from blushing and also to help with his sweaty palms. These are issues he had when he was a teenager. And look, I know, I remember when I was a teen and I used to have like, I just remember the worry about not having deodorant on. And I don't even think it was something like I ever smelled without it or anything like that. And I just knew that if I wasn't wearing it, there could be that situation where you're stinking up the entire high school and everyone's going to be like puking. I remember the worry because there was like a day when I forgot it and I fucking was freaking out. I was so worried. Stupid. Now I barely wear deodorant and I never smell. And I never wore antiperspirant. It was always deodorant. I was really afraid of antiperspirant because it was like fucking aluminum and blocking your lymph nodes and all this shit. Friend's mom scared me straight. So I only wore deodorant, but I remember that being a teenager and this shit gets to you. Like, so this guy blushed a lot when he got in embarrassing fucking things. So he had this endoscopic thoracic sympathectomy. Doesn't sound real. The doctor was telling us, I'm like, this isn't real, is it? Like, he just made this up and you're going to do surgery on me like that fucking guy who's putting the windpipes in people? Oh, fucking look up that doc. He's putting the fucking wind. He put plastic windpipes in people and it was never tested on fucking humans before. Anyway, this poor pal, he's turning beet red in embarrassing situations. I'll read you a little bit of what he was saying. I also had excessively sweaty palms. Together, these things made me feel even more self-conscious than your usual teen. I felt depressed. To make matters worse, other kids at school would notice and comment, oh my God, you're so red. What's wrong with you? So he first tried beta blockers, didn't work. And then he read about the endoscopic thoracic sympathectomies. And it's pretty fucked up. It's pretty fucked up. So he got the surgery when he was 16. And it involves deflating the lungs one at a time, then destroying a portion of the sympathetic nerve trunk in the thoracic region, which disrupts neural messages that give the brain signals about emotional reactions. This is like a hipster lobotomy. Environmental changes such as temperature and triggers include fight or flight. So it turns that shit off. This is a hipster lobotomy. You want to blush, bro. You want to fucking blush. The surgery took an hour and it has changed his whole life. He's 40 now and he's still experiencing weird side effects, none of which were disclosed beforehand. Of course, because who's getting this surgery? Who's getting this surgery? In fairness, his hands are now mostly dry. The facial flushing initially improved, though it wasn't completely resolved. This motherfucker still blushes. But he has, like, apparently cutting the sympathetic nerve reduces responses to strong emotions like fear or laughter. So he's now in a robotic emotional state, and he has, like, this ever-present fog. He feels disassociated, and look, there you go. It's been compared to a modern-day lobotomy by some who have suffered similar side effects. So it's like fucked with the shit. So the cure to it wasn't to like stop the flow of blood. It was just to not be embarrassed about stuff. Get rid of the embarrassment that sends a signal to your brain to flush your cheekies. Oh, dear God. And now he's all fucked, like his like internal temperature's a mess. He's always sweating and his bed's always wet and he's got low blood pressure. It's not a good idea. Look, if you're thinking about the hipster lobotomy, it's a different age now. I think he was probably, you know, around the year 2000, 98, 99. He was getting this thing done. Feel like they've maybe done 15 since then. For people, and they're probably for criminals. They're probably doing tests on criminals and those other 15 that got this hipster lobotomy. Because the blushing, my goodness, sir. You're going to be okay. If you're out there blushing right now and you feel a little funny about getting red, I'm here to tell you it's okay. It's friggin' okay. You don't have to worry about it. Anyway, there is a surgery out there for you if you're an insane teenager, I guess. It's the other shit, folks. The last segment, we're going to try and finish this up. We're going to try and keep it under 40, okay? We're getting through. We're doing things. We're keeping on track here as best we can. We're going to knock out two in February. I'm going to be coming back at the end. You better be here, folks. You better be here. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you ever heard of that book? I'm going to give you a really quick review. It's a book that's been out for about 25 years. It's an entrepreneur, a real estate tycoon, wrote the book about how easy it is to make money and to buy things with debt. And I will say, I don't know how you would do it now. I don't know how this is possible unless you have a lot of capital to start yourself off. Because he was talking about real estate deals he did where he like buys foreclosure properties. And he told me in the early 90s, he bought a rental building foreclosure for $20,000. It's $20,000. So he only needed to put down like $2,000. So what did he do? He went to a private lender. This is the whole rich dad, poor dad thing. This is how you buy shit with debt. You get a loan to get a down payment. And then you sell the building for $60,000. You've now made $40,000 profit and it's not taxable. So you pay back the lender plus interest. It's like $2,500. Doesn't really matter because you've still made like $35,000. And that is the whole rich dad, poor dad thing. It also bothers me that he's like a Trump guy. I think he wrote a book with Trump. And he does talk about it in his book, how he was a hero and stuff. And now this is back when he was just, everyone knew of him as the real estate guy in the 90s and shit, right? I don't know if he would have included it in his book now. Not sure. But I guess he's doing the same kind of thing. He knows the loopholes. And it's funny because this rich dad, poor dad guy just came out in the news and was like, he's $1.2 billion in debt. And everyone's like, aha, you see? But that's his whole thing. His whole thing is that his money is just debt. And it's all like, the leverage is all in the banks. So it doesn't matter that he's that much in debt because he's able to just get more money through loans based on all the properties he's purchased with debt. And I guess all the books he's fucking sold because he's written a lot of books. He also has like a fucking Monopoly game that he made. I feel like he swindled me a little bit, but I'm glad I read it and I'm glad I didn't, you know, I kind of saw it for what it was. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Under the next book, folks. Let's just talk about one last thing. Let's talk about one last thing here. The Vince McMahon lawsuit. He's the guy who runs the WWE. Look, I'm not a fan of wrestling, but this shit shocked me. All his texts were leaked. This guy is being charged with sex trafficking, sexual assault. He really kept an employee as like a little sex fucking puppet. He was like pimping her off to other wrestlers and he's shitting on her head and this guy is the greasiest fucking dude. Like, what the fuck is going to happen there? He's also almost 80. Is this going to fucking work out? Like, is he even going to, like, he could die. That guy definitely did roids too his whole life. Like, he could keel over at any time and nothing will happen. It's just not a fan. You know, I was a kid fan as much as anyone else, but there's a lot of people that are fans of the WWE. So I don't know. This is just really fucking shocked me. Really fucking shocked me. And here we are at the end.
Yeah.
Keep it under 40. Keep it under 40. Losing my mind. Losing my mind. Can't say discourse. Public discourse. Oh, fuck. I'm still struggling with discourse. I need to go back to the Chang School. Come with me to the Chang School. Get a diploma in golf management. See you later, baby. See you later, baby.